This is Bruce Marable from Employee Cycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thank you both so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and definitely taking time during this crisis to help provide insight and share wisdom in your experience as you've been helping your employees reduce stress and anxiety during coronavirus. I'm also proud to say that this is the first episode that we've ever done where we've had two guests. So I apologize for everyone previously who has ever asked for us to have two guests because I've said no. But under these special circumstances, we made an exception. I know it's going to be an awesome interview. And this is also the first podcast that both of these guests have ever been on as well. So again, I feel double the special right now. But if you both could please introduce yourselves, let us know which company you're representing, your headcount location, and then after that, we'll go deeper into the interview.
Awesome. Well, I'm Amanda McNeil. I'm a SHRM SCP and a certified personnel consultant. I am the manager of the people department at Act 2 Shared Services. Our headquarters are in Houston, Texas, but we have actually employees throughout 16 or 17 different states now. We provide outsourced accounting services and cloud-based software called Sage Intacct. We actually do implementations of that as well.
And I am Michelle Flores. I've been with Act 2 for about a year and a few months. I'm working alongside Amanda as HR generalist for the people department. And so, yeah, we kind of conquer tasks together.
I think we've got just shy of 100 employees right now. So
great. So one of the first things that I would love to discuss is when you first realized that this was a very serious thing that was happening. It was a global pandemic, and you needed to go from what is happening in the world mode to game time. Let's figure out how we can communicate to our employees, how we're going to manage this. What does that look like? And then how has that changed now that it's April 23rd and things, I'm not going to say seem to be getting better for everyone, but it does seem like a lot of people are now getting used to this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We're definitely falling into our new normal. I kind of felt bad for Michelle. I was actually on PTO when the organization made the decision. And actually is in a little bit of a unique position because roughly 40% of our workforce was already working from home. So the shift for us to go ahead and quickly deploy the remaining workforce to work from home as well, we luckily were able to carry that out rather quickly. Michelle, you were a big part of kind of helping disseminate that communication. Do you remember how it started?
It was pretty immediate. I think the executive team, especially Rob, he's our CFO, he kind of got with me and let me know exactly what I needed to communicate to the team. And like Amanda said, 40% of our staff is already remote. So they've been really helpful in, you know, helping with their in-office transition. But we just got that communication out. We put a game plan for all of the departments and the teams, and we packed up our stuff and kind of moved home if we needed.
I think what's so neat is the first week, Bruce, was so funny. A lot of our staff who work from the office are extremely social creatures. They definitely were struggling. Our remote staff immediately started on Slack, like providing us feedback and tips and tricks for how to really successfully like set up our workspace to get more comfortable. We started kind of putting forward a lot of initiatives to help us really stay and feel connected to each other for people who weren't used to being so separate. And I think we've gotten to a point where we kind of clicked into a new normal for sure.
So in regards to a communication strategy, how did you put that together and what does that look like now? For example, are you doing town hall style? Are you coaching up managers to do one-on-ones on a more consistent basis? Is it more about your CEO having one-on-one conversations with employees? What does that currently look like?
This is a strength of ours. So we'd actually historically, we call them all hands meetings. Basically, it's a town hall. We'd done them quarterly already. I think in the past month, we've already had two. So we've upped the frequency of those. We're in a great position. Our culture had kind of set itself up for success in a situation like this already. our managers do have regular meetings one-on-one with most of our staff and with their teams. It's actually part of our performance management cycle and our development cycle already. So I think those have kind of taken a shift from personal development to being more of a, like, checking in, seeing if people are okay. But other things we've done from a communication standpoint, we've definitely increased our general communication as things have changed in the news, as especially the state of Texas is kind of updated on what's going on with the school system, communicated that we're staying on par with that. And then Michelle and our culture committee have really taken on some great initiatives to not just for general communication by disseminating information, but they've really found ways for us to stay socially connected. So Michelle, you want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff we've done so far?
Yeah, I can. Like she mentioned, I'm one of the leaders of the culture committee, and we actually established that a year ago. And like she mentioned, our culture is phenomenal already. So I really think this hasn't changed much. It's actually made us a little bit stronger. We've actually scheduled what we call water cooler or coffee breaks throughout the week for anybody to just join and chat. It doesn't have to be work related. It doesn't have to be COVID related. We talk about Netflix, or we talk about, you know, if somebody, you know, saw a new bird outside or whatever the case may be. It's so simple, but it really brings people together a little bit more. We've done that. And then we've also started Motivational Mondays, where myself, we just send out a quick motivational quote on Mondays and kind of set them up for the week so that they stay positive. And then on Slack, we use that. And there's a ton of different channels that we've created just to keep people engaged and, you know, kind of just best part of their day in the days to come.
And I think our CEO has been really good at kind of rounding all of that out by almost every Friday since, what, March 13th or so. He's kind of spent like a weekend recap. And so we've kind of tried to balance it between communicating out about what's going on with COVID and what's going on from a business perspective, and also just keeping people engaged with each other and socially feeling connected.
Speaking of engagement, are there surveys that you're sending out to see how people are feeling? Are you sending out forms to see if people need things? Some of the things that I've seen companies are doing now include giving people stipends or trying to figure out how they can create the best work from home environment. So maybe that's buying a new desk or a new chair. Are there any things that you're doing to crowdsource the overall sentiment of your employees? And if so, what does that look like?
So we actually have not started pulse surveys yet. We were doing so much immediate communication with our staff and getting so much, like our all hands meetings, we were getting so much verbal feedback. We were sending out emails, getting some immediate responses. So I haven't officially started our pulse surveys. Those actually start on Friday, just to make sure everyone still feels connected. We did take a lot of immediate feedback within the first week about how are you doing? Do you feel like you're set up from home? And, you know, I got to give kudos and a huge shout out to our remote team who is already remote. They immediately started sharing feedback for how to be successful from home. So they already had out within a couple of days tips for how to structure your day, tips for how to set up your office environment. We're all kind of figuring out how to deal with, we call them the indoor kids and dogs at home. That's been a little bit of a new challenge for all of us. But, you know, we are requesting a lot of feedback. We have a couple surveys for us this month. And then, again, it's just been a lot of people have been really wonderful about raising their hands and kind of sort semi sort of crowdsourcing and semi sort of just volunteering tips and tricks for how to do this well and comfortably.
Are there things that you've been doing to make employees feel more comfortable with working from home, specifically around letting them know that it's okay if their child is in the background or the Zoom video themselves, or, you know, you don't have to wear a certain type of getup, maybe a guy would try to put on a blazer or something like that just to look professional? Are you doing any things to let your employees know that you can still be comfortable but also professional to try to ease some of the burden of uncertainty that they already have?
I could just speak for myself. I was just on a Zoom meeting and I had a wizard and a ballerina and then Darth Vader show up behind me on my screen. So, you know, as one of the management team, I think we're being very open about the fact that families always come first. We've already put our employees that we're going to be very flexible with the way that they structure their day while they're working from home. As much as the FFCRA emergency leave was a wonderful, you know, opportunity for staff to be with their kids a little bit more. We also didn't want our staff to feel like they had to do that. If they still want to be able to do their job, but they're going to have to do it in a more flexible way. We've got some people who are logging until about 1 p.m. and then they log off for a little bit to help their kids, and then they log back in that evening. Michelle's dogs made several videos on meetings. We've actually got a whole joke running about all the dogs who we call, again, the interns who've shown up on some of our fun intercompany memos, and we've had Zoom meetings where everyone brings their dog, and it's you know, we're just trying to make it fun.
Got it. Are there any things that surprise you during this crisis?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't say that I'm surprised with how well we've done, but I really am. I think I'm very proud of our team, of how we've just made it work. I mean, I know that a lot of companies are not able to even do what we're doing. So we're really lucky to be able to continue meeting our goals and working from home. But I don't think I'm surprised by how well we're doing. I wouldn't say anything negative.
I think for me, it's been a surprise that, like Michelle, I'm just so proud of our team. They really together. And, you know, a lot of people have asked, wow, how have y'all done so well during this? Our culture speaks for itself. I think that our team has really stepped up to support each other. Our Slack has been insanely active, and it's normally pretty active, but we've seen, you know, a whole bunch of new channels. And we've always been really big on sponsoring interest groups within our organization, but we've got like a mommy life channel, and people are going on there and they're saying, hey, this is what I did with my kids today to help with the curriculum for their school. And we've got, you know, Michelle and the culture committee actually had started a health challenge and a wellness challenge. It's been incredible to see how well they've supported each other in continuing it. They're like, guys, we can't forget about our health right now. Don't forget to take some time off. It's just been, I guess, the biggest pleasant surprise has been how well we've come together as a community to really make sure that everybody feels like they have the ability to be successful right now. So it's really been just the support that's risen up through all of this.
And then the last question for both of you, having now went through probably the biggest crisis that we've ever dealt with working in the HR field, what are some of the best practices, tips, recommendation that you would give to any HR leader or anyone out there managing a team of people for skills and the mindset that they should bring when dealing with a crisis?
Michelle, do you have anything to ask?
I know it sounds cliche, but I really think communication. I've worked for companies in the past that just wasn't there. And that's something that I'm so proud of for Act 2 is they really do communicate with their staff. I mean, and like earlier, it really starts with the CEO. You know, we've done games with the remote staff, and we've kind of logged on to those Zoom meetings, and he's right there with us. So having that leadership team be able to communicate to our staff the way that we all do, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I'd echo what Michelle said. And then I would just say, as any HR professional, I think before you get to the crisis, make sure that you are putting the building blocks together to build trust and in an environment and a culture that's willing to provide you feedback. Because I think if we had staff who stayed silent throughout this crisis and was sitting there at home and not communicating back to us, I don't know that we could have supported them in being so successful. I think you've heard this kind of a lot throughout this, that a lot of the reasons why we've been okay is because our staff was really right up to the occasion. And I think it's because we built a really good culture over the past 10 years. That's one that's very engaged and they've got a lot of buy-in to help Act 2 be successful. People come to work here because we're a good place to work, and it's a great culture. And I think that's what's really carried us through is the camaraderie.
Well, I want to thank you both for being such awesome podcast guests, and also want to give you both a huge shout out for crushing your first podcast ever. You're both making me look much smarter than I am. So I appreciate that. And really just appreciate you taking out the time of your busy personal and professional schedule to help others with your insight. It's truly appreciative. So I just want to say thank you from everyone that's listening. And I hope that both of you, your families, and your team stay safe and stay healthy. So thanks again. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.